Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the second Sunday of Christmas, yes, it is still Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas, you know. We should celebrate them to the fullest. But the text chosen for this Sunday, and we have switched from a three-year series to the historic one-year, so yes, you've heard it again, St. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. And I will read portions of it as we go, but these are the words of God, and so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words are difficult for us. We like the idea of God protecting the baby Jesus. But we can't deal with God not protecting the little boys of Bethlehem. That God would protect his son and not them. Why didn't he warn the parents of these little ones so they could flee to Egypt also? Was it just because God had to fulfill what he predicted through Jeremiah? Just so that God could say, "See, I was right. What I say comes to pass, no matter what." If you have not been tempted to think this about God and what he does, then you are better than many, better than me. The problem is that when we take this direction, we are only looking at the narrow, immediate issue. It's like the miracles. Everyone wants them, but can't see that they are just temporary. Every one of those whom Jesus fed, healed, or even raised from the dead got hungry again. And what did that matter, as they are all dead and gone for many centuries now? Those little boys that Herod had murdered would be dead too now, had they lived. Isn't that sad too? It should be. But when we don't see the larger context, we call this just a part of life. Death is not a part of life. The reason for Jesus' miracles were not to fix every human problem and concern, but rather to show that Jesus can and was willing to for people like us. But most importantly, he had come to actually fix the cause for every one of these problems and concerns. The bigger picture was what he had in mind. The long haul was what he was working towards. But we want the pain to go away now. We want things to be fixed now. Are we children? Are we that short-sighted? Now, please don't take this to mean that we tell others to smile through it, to chin up and grin and bear it, and please, for Pete's sake, just stop crying already. No, the Bible tells us to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Jesus did. As it really hurts. It is not some imaginary pain or a little scrape that we can just walk off. It is the terrible loss of loved ones. It is great sins against the helpless, like these little boys of Bethlehem. But life is still bigger than this, or at least it is supposed to be. No, I'm not saying simply that life goes on and that those who remain still have lives to live and need to move on somehow. This is true, but that does not relieve the pain, the sorrow now. But do you know what does? Hope that comes from faith. Faith because of the picture that the message of Jesus paints before our eyes with his words of truth. That comes from outside this place of death and sorrow, of sin and loss. That is the big picture. Because life will be bigger and more, much more than this. As this is not the end. I mean, after all, they can only kill you, right? They only killed these boys. Yes, those parents had a lot longer to suffer this, their horrible loss, but God is the God of the living. What does he say? How does he explain this? He tells us that he is the God of Abraham, now dead, and his children, Isaac, and his grandchildren like Jacob. And as all grieve their loss, yes, but he is also the God of Isaac, remember, the son of laughter. In Sarah's sadness, that was turned to joy. That is what I mean. And it was not just for Sarah that this was done, but for us. Not just as an example, but through Isaac, Jesus was born. The big picture, remember. Even though Isaac is also dead. But this is the final solution. I mean, all barren women could say, why Sarah and not me? But hold on. These that I have mentioned are all dead. These mothers also lost their children in the end, as all die. Well, yes, but are they really dead? God is the God of the living, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now. Even now. So then, is this really the end? See, this has nothing to do with just 70 or 80 years, or even a few generations, because these little boys that we should feel outrage about, as is right, are not dead. They are the first Christian martyrs. They hold a place in the kingdom of God shared by only a select few. Forgotten? Not in the least. But even if we have, God has not. We are in a war, if you have not noticed. The devil and the world are out to kill us and to undo as much of God's creation, to wreck as much of his kingdom as they can. And so there are casualties. There is damage. Yes, painful for that time, and we should be without what? Without things, without people for a time. But we honor those who have fallen to protect us. So too do we honor these boys of Bethlehem. Was it worth it, though? Is it worth it? It is better to lose your soul and gain the whole world, or to lose the world and gain your soul. Jesus also said those who wish to save their lives will lose them, and those who will lose their lives for him will gain them. But guess what? Those who do lose out here, I mean, for him, they gain life eternal, and then the whole world too. So nothing is lost. But a bit of time with family here. But what is time here compared to eternity? Those families that lost their little boys, they have been with them now for about 2,000 years. And that is just the beginning. The bigger picture, the long game, the final solution, that is what this is all about. These would-be little men of God help bring in that which will put an end to such corruption in government as he who was born as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What they were a part of, what a privilege, was that which would put an end to what caused all this in the first place, sin. And as far as suffering, Jesus would suffer more than any human ever could or would. The infinite wrath of God on that burden of sin, the sins of the whole world that he carried to the cross, where he paid for them as if they were his own, Adam and Eve sinned to the last person to sin on earth on the last day. All of it. Yes, what we suffer hurts, but nothing compared to that. Thanks be to God. And that is what makes it all worth it. All of what we suffer and lose here. Jesus did this with that goal, that result in mind, that final and eternal healing of his good creation. The letter to the Hebrews says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But no, none of it, no sin and its result is ever right or good, like what happened to the many two-year-olds in Bethlehem. But then Jesus comes and takes that and turns it into the opposite. Death becomes life. Sickness becomes health. Poverty, wealth, loss, abundance. Here and now, to some degree. And sometimes, yes, but that really matters little in the grand scale of things in the real life that is to come. For those little ones in Bethlehem, the letter to the Hebrews puts it this way: women receive back their dead by resurrection. It has already happened. We saw Jesus do it with the widow of Nain, when Jesus gave her only son back to her by resurrection. This will be the same for these martyrs, as it will be for us. So when we are tempted to think or feel this way, look to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, because Jesus was just the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, you and I. That is why. That is God's purpose that these little ones were part of for us. So these boys say to us, "You are welcome. Merry Christmas to you. See you all soon. Amen." The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.